I have to say, Jonah's one of my favourite characters. You might say, well, I wonder why. Well, it will become clear over the coming weeks that I come, which will actually be months, but I just want to focus really on this this book. And I always enjoy that account of Jonah. But I have to say I was particularly captivated with it being read by James. I really enjoyed it. I don't know, does he read you bedtime stories? He does. Well, I'll tell you what, I remember my dad used to read me bedtime stories. And it reminded me a little of him. The soothing tones of his voice, really appreciated it. So thank you for that. And I'm pleased that he read the whole lot, because we've got a lot more of James there. Often I think if we gave more time just to the reading of Scripture rather than necessarily trying to find out what it's all about and give great expositions, just to take the simple written word and to listen to it and read it, I believe there's much power, isn't there, in the written word of God. And so it was a particular blessing to have an extended reading this evening. Really good. Well, Jonah, the story of Jonah, it does fit into the series that I've been doing for, as long as I can remember now here, these miracles in water. You'll remember, won't you? Yeah, I remember. I know exactly what they are and what it's about, don't you? Yeah. You do. Does that mean I don't need to go through my introduction? Yes. Well, it will be quicker, and then I you see, now the thing is, one, are you ready for this tonight, you guys? Two, 14 pages of notes. However am I going to get through? Now Carol's folding her arms. You dare. Now don't worry, we'll just go on, and I'm looking at the time and I'll keep time. But there's a fair amount to get through. Just to recap on these miracles in water, we've looked at six so far, haven't we? The first one was in creation. The third day, it prefigures the resurrection of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation to bring us forth as a new creation. Then there was the great flood, a global catastrophe, portraying the power of the Holy Spirit to give us a clean heart. The Red Sea crossing, the third one. Another Old Testament type of baptism, by which we have deliverance out of the bondages of sin and Satan. We moved on to the Jordan crossing, symbolic of our entering in to our inheritance and the promises of God. Then we looked at Elijah's mantle, the cloak that was passed from Elijah to Elisha. This account parallels Pentecost, the cloak being symbolic of the Holy Spirit, by whom we too are clothed with power on high, just as Jesus promised the disciples in Acts. Power for service. So we've got a new creation, a clean heart, deliverance, and entering into the promising. Power for service. We also looked at Naaman's cleansing, the miracle of the Holy Spirit to cleanse us from the power and presence of sin. These are all Old Testament types of this baptism in God's Spirit that gives us a clean heart, makes us a new creation, gives us deliverance, and so on. Well, we come to this, the seventh miracle in water, found in the book of Jonah. And it's one that Jesus referred to, isn't it? Jonah was referred to by Jesus in Matthew when the religious leaders was seeking a sign from him. And Jesus said this, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What a challenging response to those who look for proof or an outward sign before they say they'll believe. Often those who seek a sign are not seeking the truth at all, but they're seeking to disqualify it. There's a personal testimony I really want to give. I don't know if I've told you about my time at Nescot bricklaying. And we were on this bricklaying course, and there were all these ruffians, not like me, I wasn't rough at all, we were all there, you see, and they were very rough and foul-mouthed, this lot, and I was newly saved, and we were sitting around having lunch together, and on the table, just a couple of metres away, there was this group of girls, and they were talking about Jesus and church. And there's probably maybe 7, 8 of us, I don't know, I can't remember how many, sitting around this table. And this one foul-mouthed guy on my course, he said, "Oh, those girls talking about Jesus, beep, 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 beep. If you sit Jesus right here in front of me, then I'll believe. You sit him there in front of me. There's no proof. But if you sat him there in front of me on this table, then I'll believe in him." And I sat there and, you know, you think, boom, 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 I can't keep silent. I want to keep silent, but I can't keep silent. And there's all these builders here. And if I say anything, I'm likely to get my head kicked in, or at least get a mouthful anyway. And I'm sitting there, and then these words just came out of my mouth before I could stop them. And I looked at him square in the eye and said, "I'm a Christian." And he said, "Oh, beep, 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 you beep, 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 beep. What are you going to do, preach at me? I told you, if you sit Jesus right in front of me, then I'll believe in him." And I looked at him and I said, "No, you wouldn't. You'd crucify him just like they did." And I was expecting a comeback, but of course there was absolute silence. And all the builders kind of felt a bit awkward and they looked down. And this guy just blushed bright red. And he didn't say a word. He couldn't reply to it. You see, he was saying, "Oh, you give me proof. You give me proof. You prove it. You prove it to me." He wasn't interested in Jesus at all. You see, even the demons, they believe and tremble, James says. Salvation is not just to believe about Christ, but salvation is to believe in Christ. Not just about him. The demons believe. They probably know a lot more than you and I do. But salvation is to believe in Christ. And to believe in Christ is to exercise true faith that releases us, releases the power of God to translate us in a moment out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Signs may serve well in bringing us to Christ, But we remain an evil and adulterous generation until we embrace him and the redemptive work of the cross unreservedly. It's only through the experience of this baptism into Christ by the Holy Spirit that our course, our confession, and our character is changed. Psalm 34 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." The proof is in the person. The proof is in the tasting. You know what it's like Sunday morning? Well, this is what happened, although I can't remember the last time we had a roast dinner. I know, it's a hard life being a pastor. But listen, I remember as a child the Sunday roast. Why we chose to do it on a Sunday, don't ask me. It could have been a Saturday, couldn't it? But a Sunday. And the service would go on. Do you still have Sunday roasts?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday. And are you looking at the clock going, "Oh, hurry up, I'm starving hungry." The chicken or beef, if you're doing really well for yourselves, is in the oven and it's all going to burn. And if you put the roast potatoes in because you like them crispy before, then, oh my word, you're going to have a burnt offering, aren't you? You see, and you're looking at it, oh, come on. Oh, the taste of it, the smell of it. Well, listen, if I just put a picture in front of you and said, "There you go, there's your roast dinner, enjoy it," you'd look at the picture and you would go, "Yeah, well, that looks like a roast dinner. I get the idea of the chicken. I get the potatoes and the gravy. Can you eat it? Have you been nourished by it? Can you smell it? Can you taste it?" It might bring a little remembrance of what you're really missing out on. But what you really want to do is lay in to that meal, don't you? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Eat him up. Eat his word. Eat it. Digest it. Taste it. Let it nourish you. Live, the Lord says, by my word, not just by bread alone. Listen, I know we need bread for the body. But in comparison, the word of God is the real food, and bread is a bit like a picture. You see, taste and see that the Lord is good. You say, "Well, I believe about Jesus. I believe about God. You know, I even believe that he rose from the dead, and I believe this, and I believe that." And it's all about, it's all out there somewhere. It's not real. We must believe in him. There must be a translation out and in. Signs don't do it. They don't. They might help us along the way, but they don't actually do it. They might trigger the remembrance. But we really must eat of Christ. We really must have this baptism of God's Spirit. None who've truly tasted the Lord would say anything to the contrary, even though the severest of circumstances might come upon them. Think of Job in his dire circumstances. He tasted God. Jacob, Jeremiah, Jonah, the testimony of God's goodness stands firm. Indeed, it's often through times of hardship and difficulty that we come to a greater understanding of the goodness of God, through whom all blessings flow. His steadfast love towards us that's unending, and his mercies towards us that extend beyond justice to save. This is the faithful witness of all who are the Lord's, and it's portrayed in the experience of the prophet Jonah in type. He who was humble enough to pen his own monumental flaws in character, word and deed to the very end. His confession in the account itself would suggest a deep change of heart towards God and his fellow man, though not explicitly recorded. The emphasis of the book is the reality of God's mercy towards sinners, mercy that extends beyond justice, both to rescue his erring prophet as well as save the erring people to whom he was called. This story of Jonah is one of salvation. It foreshadows the cross through which the course and character of a life is transformed. Baptism, our immersion into Christ's death, not only changes us, but imparts the power of God to love our enemies and take the gospel to the whole world. So the story of Jonah here, it's only 48 verses, but rich and far-reaching in symmetry and significance. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, phrase by phrase, word by word, full of inspiration and truth. Oh, that the Lord would hold us still in this sacred moment of time and loose among us the eternal spirit who knows no bounds, that every second would be to us an hour, as every year is a thousand. I wonder what you think the great commodity of life is. What's your greatest commodity? Now that's got us thinking, hasn't it? What's your greatest commodity? Well, oh, he spoilt it for me. He's there. God, he's like lightning tonight. Time. I was just going to drag it out a bit. Well, it could be. He got straight to the point. Time. You think you've got a lot of it, don't you, young man? I pray you have. But I want to tell you this. Life is a vapor. You think you've got it all ahead of you, and you feel like, whoa, I've got 5 minutes to play. Daddy, can I have another 5 minutes? Okay, 5 more minutes, then it's bedtime. Way, those 5 minutes seem like quite a long time, don't they? No, you want 10. Come on. But you see, as you get older, 5 minutes goes like that. A day goes like that. A week. Oh, where have the years gone? And then before you know it, you're 1 foot from the grave, going, what have I done with all the time that I've had? I'm one that does that, and I look back and go, I could have used it much more wisely. Even just with education. Oh, how I wished I'd worked at school. Well, I wished I'd attended school, to be honest. Shan't say what I was doing. But, you see, and I wish I'd had, because I'd have equipped myself much better for now. You say, well, you're doing all right. You've gone back to, you went back to school and you did a degree and you became a teacher, and then you did that and you're a pastor. You've done well. How much better would I have done if I'd have spent my time wisely at school? Or at school. I know you do homeschooling. Same thing. I'm saying the same thing. When I gave my life to the Lord, I gobbled that book up. I made myself read it. I said, this is my source. And I'm going to read it. 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 I did have time to fit in football and other things too. But I'm going to do it. And so while my housemates are kicking their feet up in front of the goggle box, I'm going to read my Bible. I didn't make a big thing of it, by the way. I didn't walk around the house going, I'm so spiritual, I'm reading my Bible. I just went up to my room and I read it. And then in the morning, I was about 19, 20 or something like that. Before I'd get up for work, I'd make sure I get up a little bit earlier to read my Bible. And I did that consistently for 2-3 years. And it got into me, you see. Time well spent. I made use of my time wisely. Time is your greatest commodity. Don't waste it away. And praise God, he's one that restores the years that the locusts have eaten. Praise God, he knows how to do something with a life that squandered time. But don't waste it. Yes, I'm a pastor, but I stand before you and say that I've wasted many years. I've wasted much, much time. I wasted much time going in the opposite direction. Thank God by his grace he turned me around. He brought me through. It was a hard journey. It was a tough road back, a little like Jonah. And I might share a little something over the times I'm here of little things that have happened in my life and how God has brought me through. I was one of those ones that said, prove yourself to me. Prove it. Because I'm going in this direction, and I may have had Christian parents and I've responded to you, but I want to go in this direction. Prove it. If God would only prove that he's real. And what I failed to acknowledge was deep down I knew he was. You see, was I really looking for a sign? Was I really sincerely seeking? Of course I wasn't. I wanted to go in my own direction. And you know, really, I suppose I didn't know it at the time. The Lord says, you know, there's only one sign I'm going to give you, Wes. The sign of the prophet Jonah. You're going to have to experience it. And so I went in the opposite direction, further and further and further away. Oh, I reaped that which I sowed. It was my baptism. And I remember once, I'll close with this, when I reached the end of myself, in this dark, dark, dark place, I came to church broken. Couldn't really keep a grip on my mind. Absolutely at the lowest point. And someone prophesied. God spoke through someone in the meeting, and he just lifted up his voice in the quietness, and it was like God spoke right to me. And he said, this is the only way I could take you. This is the only way I can bring you. For so far that I drifted, so far into the deepness of sin. You say, whoa, what did you do? Do you know, I didn't actually really do a lot. But did Jonah do a lot? Read it. What did he do? Did he sacrifice his children to a foreign god? What are the worst things you can think of? Was he a murderer? Moses was. David was an adulterer. What did Jonah do for him to suffer so? It all came down to the condition of his heart, and what he'd done was so serious that he knew and he rejected God. And he went in the opposite direction willfully, knowing what he was doing. Praise God, in his mercy, he turned Jonah around and brought him back. A little like my story. A little. And I'll share a little bit more about it as we go through. Are you seeking a sign? I want to tell you, you've got to experience Christ. Don't just believe about, but believe yourself right in to the reality of the person, so that this baptism is like, I'm in you, Lord, and you're in me, and there's this merging together. Of course, you know you don't make God unclean, do you? You know that. But somehow, as you come together, I in thee and thee in me, them in us, does it sound familiar? John 17? Oneness. This is what this baptism is all about. This is the outpouring of God's Spirit. Come to make us one, to make real all that Christ did. Baptism, oneness, purging out the old and making us new. You may say, well, hang on a minute. Look at the story at the end. Jonah wasn't changed, was he? Well, he was an Old Testament prophet. The Spirit wasn't given. But there it is in type. Baptism. Change. And this is really what I want to kind of go on to talk about. The time's gone. Lord, I hope and pray that we use time more wisely. We pray, Lord, that you would fill us. Lord, fill us with substance. Lord, give us the strength and determination, Lord, to use our time rightly. Lord, that we might be busy in doing that which is profitable. Lord, and not wasting it away. Lord, so much to learn. I pray, Lord, as we revisit this book, Lord, over the times that I'm here, Lord, that you would so enrich the substance of your word to us. Lord, we pray this according to your will. Lord, and fully dependent on the power of your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.